Yeah, we have expectations sometimes. You know, it's really cool when you get to the place where the expectation is happening and it's a billion times more than what you were thinking. God is so big. He is just so big. He's amazing. We spent, week and a half that crying, laughing, hands in the air, just completely blown away by what the Spirit of God was doing in front of us. Just, whew. I keep, you know, it seems like every mission we go on, I say, wow, this is the best one ever. Because when you're there and in the middle of it, it's like, whoa, you know. And but I think maybe this one might have been the best one ever. Not that we rate or we judge, you know, what we do, whether it's one person or 10,000 people, it really doesn't matter. It's, are we yielded, letting the Holy Spirit live the life of Christ through us? Wow. For me, it's gone from years ago, it started with, I just want this to happen through my hands. I just want to see God do these things through me. And that's not my desire now. My desire now is to see it happen through other people's hands. See the transformation in other people's hearts, especially church leaders. We had a lot of church leaders on this mission that they started out quite religious, and we quickly got them into praying, and as a result of them becoming part of, because there's too many people for us, the four of us, to pray for. It's way too many people. So we got the 50, 60, 100, whatever pastors there were, put them out in the crowd too. And when we initially saw, we need more training, we're going to have to talk about this and let's talk about that. I guess just watching what they were doing was, but you know what? Their desire was there. It was like we had thousands and thousands of sponges in front of us, just sucking everything they could out of us. It was amazing. It was just amazing. I got a couple video clips. I'm going to have Carolyn and Dave come. We're going to share some stuff with you. Oh, man, they got a load. But I want to show you a couple of video clips. The first one, it's like 5 minutes long. It's just a segment of one of the prayer times. We had, I think it was 17 sessions. In every session, there would be a teaching, all the other praise and worship stuff. And they had 16 choirs. 16 different choirs. In the last meeting, all of them performed. It was because they wanted to bless us, right? So it was just a lot of people. But this is, out of every session, we taught and we ministered in every session. And the ministry was always different, always just off the chart. And I got a little clip, 5 minutes of one of the prayer times, so you could kind of see the extent of what was going on here. With the very, very first session, I gave a word of knowledge, and I quickly realized that I should have given a much more difficult word of knowledge. Because three people came, you know, I turned around the first session, said to the leaders, I said, it's okay if we pray, right? Because they sent me a note. They sent me a note saying, you're out of time. It's time for lunch. We have to have lunch. They insisted on three meals. You know, they wanted it. They thought we Americans need three meals a day, and they insisted on doing that for us. So they sent me a note. I'm up on the platform, and they said, it's time to quit. We need to have lunch. And I turned to them. I said, can we just, you know, pray for a few people? Well, okay, but you got to make it fast. Now, listen, that was the first session. That was the last time they gave me any notes. I got no more notes after that. And I gave a word, and three people came. I said, oh, this is going to be easy. And then 100 people came. It's just like, okay, this is not going to work. So they stood up after you know, about 10, 15 miracles. They stood up and they said, all the rest of you, you come back after lunch, and we'll pray for all of you after lunch. We got to go eat. We got to go eat. They were really big on that. I mean, they, you know, and with their the way they live is very, 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 very simple. There was no electricity. And we actually had a hole in the floor for a toilet. Praise God. Yeah, it's amazing. You grow thankful for the things that you'd never think you would be thankful for. There was no running water that we could drink. We had to have bottled water. And they even warmed up some water for our showers because the water was cold. We didn't ask them to do that. They just did it. You know, on how they warm it up, they got to light a fire. They got to get some wood, make a fire, put a pot of water on it to warm it up. They did that for us. They just, the love was phenomenal. But I want you to see this clip so you can get an idea of what, you're going to look at that and you're going to say, the heck, can you pray for these people? It was like, it was amazing. And we, and then I got another short clip of Emmanuel, who was the interpreter they had for me, because they said there was nobody in this whole refugee camp that could speak English. So we had to bring an interpreter from Arusha, which is 28-hour drive from Arusha to the refugee camp, to bring an interpreter there. And we found out that there were four other people, because we said, we need some interpreters for the team. And sure enough, some guys came over and said, well, I can do it. So each team member had an interpreter, until the interpreters got to where they were so into this, they just kind of left us, and they're just off praying for people. It's like, so in the last half of the trip, we're praying praying for people by sign language. We go, you know, what is it? And then they'll go like that, or, you know, something like that. And we'll just pray for them, and we'll say, okay, and they'll go. it's like, so that's how the last quarter, probably, well, how much, 30% maybe of our trip was that way. And we, you know, it got to be okay. We were okay with that. We don't have to know. We like to know, you know, what's going on with the person, but we don't have to know. All we need to know is that God's restoring them. And they let you know that. And yeah, they won't, they're not moving until they, it's like, yeah, they're, you'll see, you know, you'll see here, we kind of got, most of us got like pushed against the platform when the people started coming, so we're against the platform. And they're like 30, 50, 100 people deep all the way around that come for prayer. And it's like we pray for somebody, a miracle happens. Now, how do we get them out of this pile? It was, you know, I guess you're going to have to stand here. I don't know. And there was time, it's not this clip, but other times that they, it was just like this. I think the second session we had, in the first, we were in two venues. The first venue was a smaller one. They had, it's where all the churches came together, 2,000, maybe 3,000. And then we went to the bigger one, which is, they have a church that seats 8,000 people. And they set everything up outside because there was not enough room, they said, in the church for all the people that were going to come. So we had a lot of, and they decorated the trees. And they embroidered, the women embroidered all these. Oh my God, we're looking at this, like the work that went into this. That's amazing. And they spent weeks and weeks and weeks preparing for us to come. And we were greeted both places with like a parade. The first place we went, I'm looking at all these people, and they're like waving, you know, branches from trees, and just yelling and praising God as we're coming in. And they, I'm looking, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of kids, and it's a school day. And I said, aren't they in school? They said, oh, this event is more important than school. They closed the school so that all the children in school could be here for this event. Whoa! This event is more important than school, is what they said. Wow. Wow. So two clips. The first one is a prayer time, and I'll tell you some things that are happening there when we go through it. It's like 5 minutes long, and then the other one is 4 minutes. It's Emmanuel wanted to say something so you could see him. So I videoed him for about 4 minutes, and he talked about, because he interpreted probably the first 12 teachings that we did, and then I had a different one for the last four, five that we did. But he got whacked. He just got whacked. At first, you know, he's interpreting the stuff that I'm teaching, and he's like, I never heard this before. It's just like, I don't know about this. Well, you hear him, you listen to him. It's like, it's really cool. Go ahead, Harvey. Hit it. You're going to see me in a minute. It's getting over to where I am. There we are. See that lady? She was blind. She just got her eyes open. Now I'm looking around like, how do I get you out of here? okay. This one's deaf. Tons of eye issues, tons of people that can't hear. Mutes. Okay, that's the head guy right there, Pastor William. He's in charge of the church of roughly, I don't know, 12,000 people. The nicest man. With these, we got the pastors out there. There's one of the pastors. They're spread out all over the place. I want you to see this guy. We taught them not to do that. We had to repeatedly teach them not to do that. The guy right there in a striped shirt was a deaf mute. Was. I haven't got to him yet. This guy I'm praying for here now was blind. Totally blind. Completely black. Took a couple of shots, but his eyes opened up. There's Dave. We're like, can you even believe this? The guy that was videoing this, I didn't even know he was videoing it. I got the video from him. He's on the platform, laying down underneath to get a straight shot. I'm right in front of the platform. Think we're having fun? Got stomach problems. See, we're praying without an interpreter at this point.
Wakati wale waliofunguliwa wanarudi. Wewe mbaye bado naona bado shida hii tunaweza kusogea.
That man, he had all kinds of things wrong with him.
Yeah.
That's Emmanuel, the interpreter. Oh, yeah, he's on his own now. Yeah. And there's other guys going around. Just it's too many people. This little girl couldn't walk, couldn't stand. You ready? Ta-da! That's Ellen, the other lady that was part of our team. She grabbed this deaf mute boy and pulled him behind the platform so that she could pray without being in the middle of the pile. That's it. You could put on the one with Emmanuel. Just wanted you to get a feel of what that was like. Amazing, isn't it? About like Florida, but it was more up in the mountains.
My name is Pastor Emmanuel Absalom. I'm from Mauritius.
Can you hear that?
I'm so grateful to have this opportunity at least to say something after we have met with Pastor Tony for the ministry of the Living Gospel of the Lord. We thank God we have been with him almost for more than 4 days. This is our 5th day, and I was translating for him as a translator. But I found out a lot of things in my heart and in my mind. Some of them I didn't understand them. But it's like when he started teaching, I was a bit shaken on the beginning. I said that, whoa. What kind of this teaching? And then what will happen? Then I keep going on and keep going on. And as I was going on, the Holy Spirit started to speak with me and started to transform me. I have been so surprised and I've been so shaken. And really his ministry has transformed me a lot. For example, some of the miracle which I was seeing, I said, whoa. What kind of this miracle that can happen to me? And I didn't know. And when we started to pray to people, he was also telling me to pray. And I didn't refuse. I say, okay, let me also do. But in my heart, I say, oh, will it happen? But I started believing as he has been preaching and telling us that whatever he wants, just believe, and you will receive. And also I started to believe. The first day we prayed, it was fine, it was normal for me. But the second day and the third day, I saw something has started to happen when I'm praying to people. And when we were in Katumba, I was a bit shocked when we went down and we were praying for people. And one of the young boy, he was totally deaf. He could not hear, he cannot speak. And he was in front of me and I was supposed to pray for him. And Tony was away, was praying for other people. And I started to pray for him. As suddenly when I prayed, just short prayer, I said, in Jesus' name, you did live. And the eyes were open. Then I tried to clutch my hands and he turned around. He turned around. Oh, it was amazing. So go, thank God. Then my face improved again. Say, okay. You cannot speak. He said, yes, he was just using the sign. And I touched his mouth, and I also started praying. After I prayed for his mouth, he started saying, Yesu, Yesu. Oh, I praise God. So little what I can say, this kind of teaching has transformed me, has come to know the little who I am and the authority and the power that I have been having. Sometimes some of the days when I was ministering, I was feeling some of the sick person to pray for. If they were seriously sick, I was afraid. Will God heal them? Then I was afraid. But now I cannot afraid. Even if they bring someone who is dead, I will pray for him or her. And it's healed God him because I have faith, I believe in God, and I know the kingdom of God is in me and is operating me. So as I go back to Arusha to my ministry and whatever I be, oh, fire of the Holy Ghost will be with me. Miracles, miracles of Jesus now I start to see on my hands because I have seen the power of the Holy Ghost now working through my hands. And it's just simple. I need even to sweat, even to toil. It's just simple. I need even not to use my voice. Just simple, like I'm speaking to someone else. Glory to God. So I thank my God. I thank Pastor Tony. He has transformed me with the teaching, and the Holy Spirit has transformed me. And now I will live an extraordinary life that I have never lived and that I have never ministered. Ah, thank God, and I thank so much for what has happened in my life and in my ministry totally. Amen.
I was hoping he would laugh because he has such an infectious laugh in the middle of the night after we get back and we would be laying in bed. And we were all in this one building, and it's like, it was wild dividers, but you could hear everything. And we hear him just, and he said, first of all, who is this? And they said, that's Emmanuel. He's just so amazed at what is happening, what he's seeing. He just can't stop laughing. He's laughing all night long. And I said, wow, come on over here. You got to hear from these guys. Praise God. Got up. Thanks.
Hallelujah. I'm going to start at the beginning because to me that was very special. The first venue we went to in the morning, I was praying and I said to the Holy Spirit, can you give me a glimpse of what's happening? The Lord has allowed me over the years to see more and more into the supernatural. And he showed me a gentle rain falling down on us. And it was big drops of rain. And I said to him, what's that, Holy Spirit? And he said, that's the love of the Father. I thought, wow. He says, but here's what I want you to do, Dave. He said, after you introduce yourself today, I want you to have everybody stand. And so I asked all the people to stand. And he said, raise your hands to the heavens to receive Papa's love. And we did that. And then he said, and then have everybody turn to your right and turn to your left and tell the person next to you, the Father loves you. And I'll tell you, folks, the atmosphere in that first venue was so powerful, it just put me to tears. You know, to be part of that. And I thought, when I was walking down off the platform, what a privilege. You know, my wife and I are the last people in the world that 40 or 50 years ago, when we were growing up, anybody would have said, these two are going to bring glory to God. You know, never in a million years. And never in a million years would I have believed that because I didn't know the Lord. You know, and to be part of what took place there was so amazing, and just all that we saw. You know, I'm going to give the mic to Carolyn, and maybe we can tell that story about that, the little guy.
Oh, wow. I'm just so overwhelmed. We were coming back on our last flight last night, and just the tears were rolling. Just living in the glory of God, there's just nothing like it. There is nothing like it. You know, he tells us we shine like stars. We shine like stars in His glory. And I don't have to do a thing. Just receive. Oh, it is so incredible. And Dave was talking about this little boy. Tony asked people to come up for healing. So we had a whole, they hadn't pushed us up against the stage this time yet. So there's a whole line of people, as far back. And then he asked people who wanted to pray to step forward. And he said, children too. One little boy, about that tall, with his crutch in his tattered clothes, comes across the line. And Tony just had explained to him how to pray. He prayed for this little girl. It's like, pain, go, Jesus' name. And that was that. Pain went. And she was thrilled. And then we got later to pray for him. And he had this leg. He had this, it looked like a stick with flesh on it. And then there is another bone in front of that had knuckles on it that kind of looked like lamb's knuckles, if you've ever seen, those big knuckles. And I had never seen anything like that. And Dave started to pray. I was praying for somebody else, and Dave started praying for him and said, this is changing. The Lord's doing something here. This is great. And so he was praying for him, and then he asked me to come over and pray for his foot. So I was praying for it so we could see that the Lord was changing things here. It still looked really weird. But I started praying for his foot, and it seemed like his foot changed a little bit. So I took his hand, and we started walking. And that crowd went crazy. I mean, I knew he was dragging his leg, but, it was just amazing. So anyway, he went home that night, and apparently, according to his mom, he had a creative miracle during the night. So he comes back the next day. He's all dressed up. And I barely recognized him because he walked up, And then I realized who he was, and I lifted up his pant leg. And where all that craziness had been, there was just a little knob on the right-hand side that looked like it might be a knee that was forming. And just prayed for him again. And I know the Lord's going to totally heal him. And obviously, it was obvious at that point, there was a gentleman that was interpreting. And he said he was poisoned. So I took that to mean, yes, there was a lot of witchcraft that went on with all that. And that was gone. And boy, that little boy, he was the extreme representation of what the Lord is going to do in that community, especially with those children. And all of us got that love, or the Lord said to me specifically, love is what this trip's going to be about. And I know we all got that theme, and especially with the children there. I mean, if you could have seen when Tony called them up, commissioning them out. I mean, little ones, with all their heart, they've got their hands raised to the Lord, and with all their heart, you could tell they're speaking every word. It was the most beautiful thing. And I know, we'll see some of them here, because the Lord's going to do that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know how, but they're out in the middle of, they're 3 days travel by the best, by the quickest means, they're 3 days travel, but it doesn't matter. The Lord's going to use those children mightily. It was such an incredible experience. I could go on, but obviously.
it was interesting that I think one of the times we were going to lunch, and everything is protocol there. I had to remember that you had to sit next to Tony every time. And we're going to lunch, and we're about to walk into the building, and Tony and I look down, and there's a girl slithering on the ground, right? And he turns to me and smiles, and he said, "Do you think we should do something?" I said, "Well, for sure. You know, we don't want to miss this." You know? And so we get down, we start to pray for her, and all of a sudden I see all these demons leaving her, kind of like gnats. And then we put our hand on her to continue to pray, and the Holy Spirit said, "Pray for her mind." You know? And I prayed for her mind. I could see the Lord restoring her mind, and then she gets up, you know, and walks away. We saw that girl again. I wanted to be honest with you, to pray again for her. We saw her quite a few times. You know, I felt bad for her in some ways because, unfortunately, we cop attitudes with people. You know, you're the same person. You haven't changed, even though they really have, you know. But to see that, to me, was neat. You know, in the first venue, we saw a lot of manifestations. I got really frustrated with people because I went to the building where they were taking the people, and I realized they're yelling at people. Out! Come out! Come out! And they're trying to hold these people down. And what does that do? It traumatizes people. I finally said, "Stop it." I said to the interpreter, "Tell them to stop it." Because the girl's rolling all over the floor. I mean, she's from here, she's back to the wall there. You know, and finally when I got them to stop and to get their hands off her, don't touch her, and get her to calm down, I realized there's not a lot I can do, but I can do something, you know. I bent over, her name was Agnes, and I said, "Agnes, open your eyes." And finally she opened her eyes and she looked at me. And I said, "Jesus loves you and he wants to free you." You know? And of course, 5 minutes later, or less than that, everybody's screaming and yelling, and I don't know what happened to that girl, you know? But I knew at least she knew that. She knew Jesus loves her and has something better for her. You know, and what that means is probably far greater than what I realize. You know, and I'm just thankful for that. And to me, one of the neat things was we had a deaf mute. And I can't snap my fingers. I used to have arthritis, 50 years of arthritis. God healed me 2 years ago. But so I prayed for this young man, and I couldn't snap my fingers. So I had the interpreter do it, and we realized he could hear. You know, I thought, wow. And when we prayed about his tongue being released, Tony had said the best way to do that with people that are deaf mutes is have them put their hand on your throat, on your voice box, and say, "Jesus." And when I did that and then told him to do it, all of a sudden he got this big grin in his face. It's like, whoa. You know? I mean, his mother was like right behind him, and she starts crying, I start crying, and thinking, "Thank you, Lord." You know, and I saw him the next day, and he was even better. You know, I mean, it's, I don't know. It, you know, when we get up here, I realize there's no way we can tell you what really happened. That's what Tony and I talked about. You know, there's no way possible. I mean, there was so much happening during those times, you couldn't even keep track of everything. You know, really. I mean, especially that when we were pushed up against the stage, I was glad I'm not claustrophobic. Because I had people all around me, you know. I couldn't move. And like Tony said, the people after they were healed, I don't know how you get them out of there, you know. But so thankful. So thankful to be there. And it was interesting. One of the times in the last venue, I was late coming across where the worship had started. And all of a sudden, as a sign of worship, I threw my hands in the air. And all of a sudden, I heard, "Whoa! Whoa!" It was the cloud of witnesses joining in with us, folks, in Hebrews 12. I thought, my goodness, Lord. You know, you don't even realize stuff like that. I mean, it was amazing. And what was hard for me there was they did all these choirs, which were great, but you couldn't dance. And for me, even at the chair, I'm dancing, and people in the audience are starting to dance. But you couldn't get up. Finally, I said to Emmanuel, "When can we dance?" He said, "Dave, you can do it the last day." I thought, geez, the last day. Okay. So the last day, especially at the last venue, I came back. We were coming back for something, and the music, the beat just hit me. And I just started dancing around. I'm dancing around out. I tried to get the children to dance, but they were so afraid because these guys walk around with sticks, you know? Stay, you know? They wouldn't get up. But all of a sudden, and I got lost. I wasn't thinking about it, I was just dancing. All of these people were running up, taking pictures of me. They're giving me money and stuff. I said to Tony, if we could have stayed a couple more days, I could have paid for the whole trip. You know? Oh. But that was the, to me, and then finally at the end, they let the children dance. Oh, my goodness. I thought, geez, they should have let these kids loose hours ago. Those kids got into it for the last 10 minutes. And I just loved those children, you know, just loved them. And the honor that I felt there was overwhelming, folks. And the love, it was like, really? We're total strangers. And they treated us like royalty. The kitchen crew was so amazing. You know, they'd get there early in the morning, cook for us. We'd eat at 9 o'clock, and then they'd clean up and start cooking again for the next protocol meal. You know, and that one night we were there, what, eating at 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, I felt like I was in a restaurant. You know what, your restaurant late, and you're the only people there, and the staff's going, when the heck are they getting out of here, you know? I can go home. Probably not even get that much of a tip, but they would never acted like that. It was like, what do you need? Oh, sugar, coffee? You sure you don't want more of this? It was like, geez. In the first group, before we left them, I told them, I forget what I said, but what I saw was Jesus standing up there, giving them a standing ovation. I thought, geez. You know, I don't know what's better than that, folks. You know, Jesus giving you a standing ovation because of the servant you are. You know, and that's what they were. They were amazing, just amazing people. And then they wanted pictures with us at the end and hugs. That was scary, the first venue. There were so many people. I realized if I hugged one person, they'd just push us over. I had to hug like three or four. And of course, then the staff, they got really crazy with their sticks. Get out, leave them alone. You know, I'm thinking, geez, take it easy, folks. You know, but hey, thanks for taking us with you. Because, you know, when he told us, I think after the first trip to Tanzania, that he was going back, he didn't have to say words because Tony's eyes get real big when he's excited. And I knew, oh, we got to go. I told him on the trip, if Carolyn had gone and I hadn't gone, I think I would have cried for the next 6 months. I cried anyways, you know, because I'm a very emotional person. And it was a very emotional time, you know, but I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And the next, I think we're in the, just before Tony left us, I think the last day when we were getting ready for our flight, which was another 6 or 7 hours away, I said to him, I think we're ready for the next trip.
Did you think of anything else?
Oh, yeah, I can think of plenty of things.
You want to give a little more?
All right, one more. Okay, so that last day when we got to dance, we went over and we were dancing with some of the kids, and then I was dancing. We had made friends with this gentleman who, we do believe his legs are going to be restored, but he was in a bicycle, and he had a hand crank on his bicycle, so his legs were atrophied. So we saw them getting stronger the days we were there. So I was dancing with him, who he was on the bicycle, and I'm dancing with him. And then this little albino girl, who I was really surprised that she had that much nerve, but she just came, you know, jumping out with all the kids and dancing. So I grabbed her right away, you know, same color hair. And and it was awesome. We danced around that whole place, and we were raising our hands to the Lord and then jumping up and down, and we could see, you couldn't even see all the way back in the crowd, but we were trying to. And she was just in both feet. It was just awesome. And, you know, for those who maybe don't know a lot about Africa, you know, albino children, they are not treated well at all, usually. So I don't know what the case is there, but it was just awesome to be able to do that. You know, the Lord just gave you opportunities like that all the time. It was incredible. and just such a joy. I mean, it was all such a joy. And there were so many blind eyes open, deaf mute speaking. You know, it was the Lord. That's what it was. I mean, there's no other explanation. It's just the Lord. It's who He is. It's so great.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Life-changing. Life-changing, intended to be. So, you know, I'm going to tell you what I told that whole group at the end of each of the venues, that your flesh is never going to speak to you and say, I want you to go for Jesus. I want you to go to the ends of the earth. He's not even going to speak to you about going across the street to minister to someone. Your flesh isn't going to do that. But when you have that sense on the inside that you want to be involved, you want to walk in this kind of victory, this kind of power, and you want to set captives free, that you really want to do that, that's the Holy Spirit working in you to will and to act according to God's purposes for you. Okay? It's not you. Your flesh is not going to come up with that. That's the Spirit of God. So I would tell them, I only want those of you to come forward, because we're gonna commission you, and we're going to send you out, and the Holy Ghost is going to be all over you, okay? You've never been baptized. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The works is going to happen. Everything you need is going to become real to you. But it's got to be in your heart that you sense that desire and yearning is there, not because somebody told you, but because you were spoken to by God. And it was amazing the number of people that thousands of people responded to that, to go out. And at first the children are coming, and some of the leaders says, no, not the children. This is for big people. I says, no, we're not forsaking the children. Who is it to say that God's not speaking to them? It's not me. I'm not going to say that. If they say God's speaking to them, they're coming. I don't care how small they are. And they did. And it was, that wiped me out. It just wiped me out. You know, I was leading them in a prayer of consecrating themselves, their bodies, their hands, their feet, and their mouth, everything to God, and giving it all to Him, and thanking the Holy Spirit for filling them and empowering them, and looking at these children. I'll never forget the faces, tears everywhere. And it's just all of their heart praying these words. And it's like, oh, man, this whole area is going to get blasted. Yeah. Yeah, on the last night, they were given accolades, you know, of all that God had done there. And while they had each of us speak, and while the team was sharing, he gave me a vision of a volcano. And it was inactive, but it just became active. And everything on the inside is stirring with red-hot embers. And it's growing and stirring and growing and beginning to come up to get ready to be shot out. And the Holy Spirit says, this is this group of people. My Spirit is doing this in them right now. And they're going to go out all over this area. And this, and that's why I told them that. And they were like, yeah! Amazing. Amazing. And we kept looking at ourselves like, the heck? Who are we that we could be here to see this? It's very real sense that, you know, that it's a blessing. It's a blessing of the Lord, and it is all the Lord. It's not us. And you know, I've come to where I don't even like anybody, you know, promoting me. One of the things they did was, when I was there 3 years ago, they have a school, a Christian school, for the whole refugee camp, and there was only 100 students, and they didn't have any funds, and they needed at least 200 students to begin to break even. And they had me walk around with them and pray over all the classrooms, over all the students, prophesy over the students and over the grounds and all that. And we went back this time, and they said, we're having a graduation ceremony while you were here. We want you to be the guest of honor and give the speech. We want you to know that we have 240 students now, and all of our bills are paid, and we know where it came from. It came from, the declarations that were made on this ground 3 years ago while you were here. And they had me handing out the diplomas to all these students. It was like, oh my, they put robes on us, and oh my, it was amazing. We totally that was unexpected. We didn't even know that was coming. It's you never know the effect of a word that God gives you for someone. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. You know, it begins with one standing in front of you. You know, I had to be faithful to those that were here, to those that were single people that were standing in front of me, and give them everything I got to bless them and to love them. I had to be faithful before God began to release to me the nations. And you remember the day that in my spirit, God gave me a vision of multitudes of black people. And that was when I go, like, what? And I said, I will go. I will go, Lord. And he showed me that, and it stayed in me. And this trip, we saw the multitudes. We saw that was an answer to the vision that I had many, many years ago, and was confirmed even by my daddy as he was getting ready to go home with the Lord. He had never prophesied in his life except the last couple weeks of his life when his flesh was done. He could do nothing else. He couldn't even move, get out of bed, but his spirit man waxed strong. And I had never known him to be like that. And everything he said was out of the spirit. He looked at me, he said, son, you're going to Africa. You're going all over Africa. I said, say what, Dad? He said, this is not me. You know that. I said, I know that. I know that. He said, you're going to Africa. You're going all over Africa. And you're going to bring the love of God. You're going to bring the true gospel to that nation, to that country, to those countries. And I said, okay, I received that. There's been words that have been spoken to you. You know, and if we only take it in our mind and we think, that's never going to happen for me, then you may not see it. This is not something we figure out mentally, okay? Every call of God is beyond your natural ability. Every call of God is way beyond anything you could ever naturally do, beyond your intelligence, beyond your physical ability. It's way beyond your whatever assets you have. It's way beyond that. The call of God is great. But Jesus said he would be with you. And he's the difference. I want to encourage you. You know, I'm not going to try to tell you, you know, what you need to do. But I want to encourage you that when something like that comes into your heart, don't discount it. Don't push it away. Don't think, oh, that's, you know, not me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That'll never happen with me. God is huge. God is huge. What he has done in my life, ask my wife, she'll tell you. I'm a new creation. I'm a totally different person. When we got married, that guy's dead. He is dead. I'm a new creation, and anything is possible when you're a new creation. Anything. Anything. I mean, the salvations that we saw, okay, we're ministering to people that are supposedly in the churches. And we had how many salvations? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came to receive Jesus Christ. And what was happening was they were seeing the reality of the kingdom of heaven. They were seeing the reality of the real Jesus, not the religious Jesus who's powerless. The religious Jesus is powerless, but the real Jesus has all power. And they were seeing the real Jesus, demonstrated by, you know, a few white folks who just simply believe. And they saw it. And they saw these people that they know have been blind all of their life. Now they can see. They saw these people who've been walking around all their life, not able to talk, not able to hear, and now they're speaking. They saw this. They saw people who were crippled and couldn't walk, and they see them now walking and praising God. And they're seeing the glory. They're seeing the glory of God. And they're realizing, okay, there's something too with these dudes you're talking about. This is real. It's real. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen this kind of reality. Well, that is the reality. The kingdom of heaven is reality. And the kingdom of heaven is in you. The spiritual realm was here before the natural realm. The spiritual realm will be here after the natural realm is done away with and finished. The spiritual realm is eternal. And that's our home. Our home is in heaven, in the spirit realm. You are a spirit person. You're a spirit person. You are a spirit person. You were born in heaven, okay? Forget about the born on earth part, okay? You were born in heaven. The real you is a spirit lady, a spirit woman on the inside of your body, filled with the glory of God, filled with the healing of God, filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, filled with supernatural ability to do whatever set before you. That's the real you. So I see this struggle going on in the church. Okay, it's all over the world. Struggle going on between what am I going to let dominate me? My natural feelings or the truth of what God says I am and what he's made me to be? What am I going to let dominate me? What am I going to let dominate my thoughts? And we spent, oh my gosh, I think I've got, oh, Dick's going to put them up on the website. I think I've got 18 messages. Think about that. If there's four in a month, 4, 8, 12, 16, that's 4.5 months of Sundays we had in 1 week. It was like, yo, Landa, this is amazing. And it just kept coming. And the Holy Spirit would build, and he would build, and he would build. And there was demonstrations all the time. Never a session without demonstrations, without the Spirit of God showing the real Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why? To transform the way they think from thinking carnally, from thinking naturally, to thinking, looking at our issues, looking at our problems, looking at our pains, looking at all the things that we have to deal with in this world, to get us off, our focus off of that and onto what God has done, who God has declared you to be, who the real you on the inside is. And when this body falls down, the real you is going to come out. Here I am. You're going to come out. You're going to stand up. You're going to be in full glory. Okay, but that's the same you, spirit you, now that you have. It's just inside this body. And if we could get our minds and our lives off of being dominated by worldly things and begin focusing on heavenly things more and more and more. And I notice this. There's so much transformation that happens to me on these missions. Sometimes it takes me weeks to begin to comprehend what's happened to me. But one thing that he showed me this trip is that, you know, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but in here in the United States, I'm kind of surrounded, we're all kind of surrounded by a lot of unbelief. A lot of people who, maybe they're in churches, but they're not walking in faith. They're not walking in that confident resting in what God has done and who they are. They're not. And there's so much unbelief that we can get, without even realizing it, we can get out of faith and begin walking and living carnally and according to what the doctors say, according to what our accountant says, according to what, you know, somebody who thinks that we're jerks says. You know, we could kind of get off into that, and we begin to step out of walking in faith. Now, you know, every one of us, you have the same faith as Jesus Christ. When you got born again, in your spirit, you have the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, to each one of us has been given the measure of faith. How much is the measure? It's enough. For whatever you would ever need to have faith for, you have it, it's in you. You have it, it's in you. We don't have to pray for more faith. We don't have to pray for greater faith. But what God has shown me is that we cannot walk according to the faith that we have. We can walk according to a small part of it, maybe. But we're not walking according to all that we have. You don't need to get more. It's just begin to walk according to the fullness of the faith of Jesus Christ in us. As we begin to do that, then all that's of the spirit realm begins to manifest in the natural realm, and we begin to see the reality of who we really are and the reality of His world. It's really true. So, very different. It's totally different. Yeah. Well, let me put it this. Yeah, most of the countries that we go to, I don't want to speak anything negative over this country. I love this country. I love the people of this country. But. I think what we see is when we go to these places is they have an extreme faith that they're going to receive something. An extreme faith that you came here this morning. If this was in another country, you'd come and you'd say, I'm going to be changed today. I'm going to be touched by God like I've never been touched before. I can't wait. I mean, that's their attitude. Okay. In America, it's a little different. It's like, I don't really dig what you're saying, dude. You know, it doesn't fit with my theology, and to shut the door. But they have not yet grabbed a hold of the faith that they can do it, the faith of who they are. But they have strong, intense faith that they're going to get something, they're going to receive something. Okay, but in America, we don't. We come and we immediately begin to rationalize, what we're hearing, and you take the words that are talked about, and you begin to think about, I don't like that one, I don't like that, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that. Instead of letting your spirit, when somebody is speaking, we need to learn to hear in the spirit. We need to take the meat and throw out the bones. We need to not judge the person. We need to take what's coming that is beneficial to us, but know that there is something beneficial to us. And not judge so many things. And there it's like they're just like playing huge sponges. They're ready to pull everything they can out of you because they live lives that are like they got all they can do just to make enough to eat. That's the way they live. They don't think like we think in America. Okay, we can even go beyond that, okay? Rather than us looking for it, we can understand that that's who we are. We call the gold out of people. We call the work of God out of people. And that's what the Spirit of God looks at. Scripture says God does not see us according to our flesh anymore. He sees us according to the Spirit. He sees us according to who He made us to be. And if we're tuned in with the Holy Spirit, that's how we're going to see people. We're going to see them according to the way God made them, a mighty, powerful spirit person, and we'll encourage that. And as we encourage that, it brings people to life. Don't you love encouraging people? Okay, one thing that I was troubled by it, but the whole focus on within the church was on the things that are wrong with people. The focus was on the sins in your life, and you got to get your life straightened out. And that always gave me a really pukey feeling on the inside. And I didn't know why for the longest time. I didn't know why. Because it's not the heart of God. God doesn't see us that way. It's the love of God that draws us to repentance. It's the love of God that draws us to change the way we think. It's not the punishment. It's not the judgment. Jesus took all the judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, basically what we do, our message has changed 180 degrees from 10 years ago. It's now we are bringing them the grace of God. We're bringing them the knowledge of what God has already done for them. We're showing them what God has done for them. We're letting them see who they are in Christ, and we're getting them to agree. I mean, I repeat myself a lot until, yes, they get it. Yes, they get it. They get it. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive and active, and able to divide difference between soul and spirit. It's able to show you what's you and what's God. It's able to move you on. This something happened in one of the sessions that's never happened to me before, and I think it's going to happen a lot more now because it's got to have start, right? First, something has to start before you can move in it. And I'm standing up there getting ready to bring the word, and this Holy Spirit saying, okay, tell them this. Tell them, because I was going to teach on, bring scriptures on, the truth that God it's God's will to heal all the time. Most people think it's not God's will to heal everyone all the time. And I was going to bring them scriptures and talk to them about the proof that it's absolutely, positively God's will to heal all the time. It is. And if we believe it's not God's will, then we're going to get what we believe. It's true. It's true. So I told them I'm gonna begin teaching on that, and people are thinking, wait a minute, how could it be God? Because I don't see. Oh, you don't see, because you don't see. Okay, is it God's will to save everyone? He desires none to be lost, but all to be saved. It's in the book, right? It is God's will for none to be lost, but all to be saved. Do we see everyone get saved? No. Does that mean it's not God's will? No. You need to place faith on God's will. And so we taught on that. So he said, announce that there's going to be someone that while I'm speaking these truths, the word of God is going to pierce their heart, and they're sitting there right now in some kind of sickness, and you're going to instantly be released from that sickness, and I want you to come up here and stand in front and tell me what happened. I never did that before. So this was cool. I only got through a couple scriptures, and this lady, older lady, she comes up there, and they had to get an interpreter for the interpreter because she was one of the ones from the outer area that had a different dialect. She said this. She said, I came here almost totally blind. I had to have help getting here. Been that way a long time. And she said, all of a sudden, I heard that it is God's will. It is God's will for me to see. And she said, I felt something swirling inside of my eyes. Swirling around. All of a sudden, it shot out and my eyes opened up and I could see perfectly. And she's standing there and she's saying that. And I said, wow, God, that was awesome. That was so cool. Yeah, we you know, the God's word is so powerful that if people will just believe it, then there could be a lot more manifestations, a lot more. I'm grateful that he's still teaching me. I feel like a little kid, a little kid in the kingdom. I'm so excited. You know, you saw the little video. I mean, yes, when somebody gets, you know, yes. I mean, I'm like a little kid. I get so excited when there's a release of the power of God, a release of the glory of God, and somebody's life is being changed. You know, I don't ever want to come to the place where that's like, you know, old hat. No, it's not old hat. You want to really have some cool nights. Start thinking about these lives and what they were like before. Not able to see, married, have children. You can't see. You can't function as a wife. You can't function as a mother. And then all of a sudden, you can. Can you imagine? Imagine going back into the home and saying, come here, everybody, come here. I got to tell you what happened to me. Can you imagine what's happening in these houses all over the place because of the glory of God invading someone's life who just believed? That wipes me out. You know, I could dream all night long on stuff like that. And I just want to share one thing with you. Should I say one more thing with you before I knock off? Because I could just, I'll ramble, and I don't want to ramble. There was a few people we were praying for. We did not see the full miracle. We could probably count on one hand, maybe, huh? Out of the thousands and thousands of people, there was some people that we didn't see the full manifestation. Some we didn't. One, I didn't see anything happen. Nothing. You know, not even. Almost everybody, it's like, yep, it started. I'm seeing better. But there was a few. And I shared with them this truth that is whack changing my life, and I just want to give it to you. Okay, our faith is real. Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, 2, 3, faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is tangible. This is tangible? Your faith is tangible. Your faith is tangible. It's real. And when you move in faith and you release faith through a prayer, through a word, that faith will sit on that person. As long as you don't take it back. How do you take it back? Oh, I guess you didn't get healed. Oh, I guess it didn't work. Oh, maybe somebody else can pray for you. You pull it back. Understand that your faith is eternal, and it's tangible, and it's real, and it's powerful, and it exists in the spirit realm, which is the far greater realm, far greater than the natural realm. Everything in the natural is subject to the spiritual. Okay? We release out of the spiritual realm everything by faith. So when you're praying for someone, okay, if you don't see anything happen, understand that when you pray, you're releasing by faith, you're releasing the anointing, you're releasing the presence and power of God, you're releasing healing, you're releasing liberty and freedom. You are releasing it, and that will continue to work on that person. You can walk away and not even think about that person again, and your faith is continuing to. It's tangible. Faith is tangible. It's not like some flowery little wispy thing that, you know, you don't know whether what it's going to do or what's going to happen. No, faith is tangible, and it's powerful in the spiritual realm. And when you are operating in faith and walking in faith, those creatures in the spirit realm, the angels, the demons, they can see if you are in faith or not. They can see if you're in fear. It's like a neon light. Will broadcast if you're in faith or you're in fear or you're not. And they're going to respond. You pray. He showed me how sometimes I've prayed for people and I was not in faith. And I would pray. I'd pray my heart out, man. I pray and I pray hard. I don't know where the veins in my neck are bulging. And I'm putting everything into it, you know. But nothing's happening because I wasn't in faith. In the demons and in the spirits of sickness and disease, they can see it and they know we don't have to go nowhere. We're not going nowhere. You're not even believing. And that we can, learning to be people of faith. And that when we pray, understand. I tell people, every time you put your hand on someone, there's an impartation. With or without words. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick. He didn't say lay hands and pray. Every time you put your hand on someone, there's an impartation. If you believe that, you're going to get according to what you believe. And the faith you're releasing, hover over that person and stay there and release the end result. If you don't move off of it, don't take it back. Yeah. Amen. Based upon what Jesus paid for, is there right now in the spirit, is there right now healing? Based upon what Jesus paid for, is there deliverance? Is it there right now? Is there provision there right now? For whatever need, according to his glorious riches, is the provision in the spirit right now? Is it? Is there anything that you need that's not already been gifted and released in the spirit? Where is the spirit? Where is the kingdom? In you. It's in us. It's in us. It's in us. It's in us. As I'm learning, okay, I'm learning how to release out of my spirit into my body and into the atmosphere. I'm learning. I'm far from there, but it's the dang most exciting thing ever. Oh my gosh. To see how lives are affected and nations are getting changed. It's amazing. And I believe that's the path that God's got all of us on. I don't got anything different than you got. You got the same thing I got, okay? The thing is the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in you, and all the goods are there. I don't have to go home and fast and pray for somebody that needs prayer because God's always ready. The Spirit of God is always ready. Are we always ready? Probably not. But is he always ready? Absolutely. 24/7. It doesn't matter. We don't pray in our own strength. I kept telling those people so many, that's not by your power, guys. It's not by your strength, guys, because they want to shake people and wrestle them. You should have seen them carrying the people that were manifesting. It's all young girls that were manifesting. They got, there's six guys, three on each side, and they're carrying them out like cordwood. And one after another, after another, after another. And I'm thinking, where the heck are they going? And then somebody came and said, hey, Dave wants you to come over to this, take a look at what's going on. And I go over there, and there's people rolling, all screaming all over the place. And there's pastors and church leaders, you know, and they're doing this. And Jesus, go, Nick. It's Toka. Toka, Toka, Toka. Toka, 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 Toka. Toka, 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 Toka. Toka, Toka. It's like, and they're screaming at demons, you know, and people are just getting worse. They're not getting any better. And I knew we needed to teach them on grace-based deliverance, which is so much greater than anything I ever even heard about before. It's just absolutely awesome, and it works every time, and it's permanent. We began to teach them that. So you speak to the girl, but you speak who she is in Jesus Christ. You tell her, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Jesus is here. You're going to be all right. Don't start telling them, confess your sins, you know, all that crazy stuff. Don't go there. Just begin to speak to them who they are in a loving way. In a loving way. And they get free. They just get free. It's not us. It's him. It's him in us. As we believe, he does it through us. It's not. And people don't manifest that much here. I had somebody tell me, you probably pray, right? Before every service, you pray, binding all the demons so there won't be any demons in the meeting. I said, that ain't going to happen. I said, Jesus is the Last Supper. Satan was sitting right there. Okay, if we could bind every demon and every person in here, nobody would be here today. I'm telling you, there are demons operational in all of our lives that we do not see and do not realize. We work with people who got these issues. Do I got issues? I got issues too. We work with people. We understand that we have the victory over it. Right? Amen. Amen. Okay, I gotta. Yes. Okay. Hang on. This is what we're gonna end with. Have you ever had a battery, the short wire, that's not, your cars won't start? Okay, sometimes we get a short, and we're not able to pull something off. So what do? We have to get a pair of jumper cables, hook them up, okay? Jumper cables, hook them up. So we want you, not diminishing anything that all of you have, because you all got the goods, but we got to discharge some of this extra juice. So I'm going to ask these guys to come up here, and even if we just hug, it's okay. But back pain. Who's got back pain? Who had that word? Did you have that word?
She fell and the word she fell and she was walking double, single, double.
Okay.
Put her hands on each other.
You got another one coming here.